Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how so many of us look for riches, perhaps by playing the lottery, or some people like to play poker or other forms of gambling to increase the riches in their lives. However, according to my guest this evening, the richness of our lives is not to be found in outward treasures. The treasures we look for are within ourselves. And he's written a very inspiring book called The Art of Becoming Oneself, exploring the vast potential of enriching our lives by becoming ourselves. My guest this evening is Dr. James B. Brennan, the author of The Art of Becoming Oneself, A Fresh Interpretation of Our Possibilities. He is past dean of the West Coast School for Continuing Studies at Muhlenberg, where he continues to teach courses in human behavior, lifelong learning, and social responsibility. He also serves as sports psychology consultant for the Villanova University men's basketball team, and is currently a visiting professor at Lehigh University in human behavior. Thank you. This was a very, very wonderful book. It's the kind of book that is you need to read and you go, aha, I get it, but then you want to reread it again. How did you come to write this wonderful book?
Well, thank you for the nice things you said about the book, Eleanor. I wanted to write a book that was in the style of the book I like to read, and I like to read books that cause me to have insights, that cause me to think deeply, where I'm constantly making highlights and writing notes in the margin, and then I go back and read it again, and I also read my highlights and the notes in the margin. So. And in fact, when I prepared this book, I went back over probably 200 books that I had read that way and just started looking at my notes and notes that I had made. Some of those books were I had notes on napkins from the diner where I was reading the book and where I would think, I must write this down. And so it was more of a collection of the wisdom that I derived from all of the other sources that I've studied in my life.
Well, the book is absolutely amazing and insightful because we don't necessarily look within ourselves to find richness. Most of us are looking at the TV and looking at the wonderful stars on TV and saying, oh, I wish I had their body or I wish I had their wisdom. We look at Judge Judy and we say, oh, we wish we were so smart. But you're saying something different in your book. You're saying that each of us has our own gifts, that if only we recognize it, we could become so rich and so wise that we're just not aware of it.
I think we do really underestimate the gifts that we have, the individual gifts as well as the gifts of just being human. I like to use a story. It's a hypothetical, of course, but if a man jumped off a tall building thinking that he could fly, we would say, well, he was delusional, and his fatal flaw was that he overestimated his human possibilities. And it's much more common that we do the opposite, where we're guilty of greatly underestimating our human possibilities. So we don't call that delusional because it's so common, but in the absence of that, we would call that greatness. And I think we all have a greatness within us.
Well, let's talk about some of the things you have mentioned in
Sure.
your book. For example, you talk about courage. What do you mean by courage? The courage to be ourselves? Tell us what you mean by that.
I think courage is it's an inner muscle that helps us to do what's not easy, and where we actually have the volition, like the volitional ability to make ourselves do what we don't always want to do when we know it's the best thing to do in the long run.
And can you give us an example?
Well, an example would be, I think, well, and this is maybe more of a generality, but when we're on the edge of our comfort zone, we usually, if we're developing our potential at something, and maybe it's the first time we give a speech somewhere, we have something to say, but the thought of getting up in front of a lot of people is very daunting, and so we feel the nervousness, we feel the fear, and what we want to do is go back to the last place we were comfortable. Maybe it was go back to where I was writing the book in peace and quiet. And but I think when you know that you have the courage to do it afraid, to be nervous and still go ahead and give it a try, then you know that fear is just a signal that you're about to do something that is going to help to cultivate the advanced you. And the fear is just a signal that I am really uncomfortable and I really would rather go back to the comfort zone. But the risk reward, the edge of the comfort zone is where you're about to grow next. And so courage is nice to have in your repertoire because then you're not afraid of fear. You will have fear, but the relationship you'll have with the fear is more positive because you're saying to yourself, I know how it felt the last time I was doing something on the edge of my comfort zone. And that was way back when another activity was new, and now it's not. And now that doesn't even scare me anymore because I did it and I learned in the doing and so forth. And so when fear comes up again, you're saying, well, this is uncomfortable and I wish I didn't have it, but I do have it, but I also have courage. I have the antidote. And so I'll do it afraid. And those people who don't invest in courage that way, who don't develop their courage, for them, unfortunately, when fear arises, then that does lead to the conditioned response, go back, retreat, or it's over.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of a time many years ago when I was in high school and I was on a debating team, and I was called upon to be one of the chief debaters. And I looked around and I was thinking to myself and looking, oh my goodness, they're so much smarter than I am. Oh, and there's so much this and this. And then I got this idea. I'm not sure whether a teacher gave it to me or a friend, and she said, Ellie, don't worry about the other person. Don't worry about the person. You're prepared. Find somebody in the audience that you can talk to. Maybe you know them. Maybe you don't know them. Just gain the courage that you know what you're talking about. They may not agree with you, but find somebody in the audience that you feel that you can relate to and focus on them and forget everybody else. And you know, that was very helpful. That was because I began to talk not as quote-unquote the debater, but I began to talk as myself, as a real person with something to say. And that was very encouraging. That gave me courage.
And that, Eleanor, is an example of someone who can move through life with a serenity by which they can be in difficult situations and high-pressure situations, but have an emotional equanimity. It doesn't mean you're not in a state of excitation in that situation, but deep down there is a center of gravity that you have emotionally that allows you to be balanced and still and yet intellectually stimulated, and coming from a still place where you're finding your deeper intelligence and composure and able to read a situation for what's going on in the present.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, my guest is Dr. James Brennan, who has written a wonderful book called The Art of Becoming Oneself. to finding the possibilities within us that enrich our lives that we already possess. And I think this is such an exciting book.
Thank you.
Really, Dr. James Brennan. And we were just talking about courage. Give us another example. You have so many examples of wonderful things that we all have within us, and sometimes we overlook. And one of those things is patience. Tell us about how patience is something that we each have within us that can enrich our lives.
Sure. I think we misunderstand what patience is oftentimes when we think of it as that's our second choice, that we're ready to react, but maybe social convention or our own moral compass or the situation prevents us from saying what ought to be said, or you know, or going with a negative emotion, and so sometimes patience, we think of that as we have the ability to restrain ourselves from exercising our first choice. And I think that patience really is the gateway mental state, the gateway emotional state to deeper understanding, to courage, to higher collaboration, to better relationship building, and to our wisdom. And so usually patience facilitates our best choices. And it also slows us down so that we can understand. Usually when we need to call on patience, we're under some duress. And so if patience slows us down to the point where we can understand the situation more deeply, we'll probably have a response that's wiser and more adaptive.
Somehow, as you're talking, I'm thinking about traveling in the summertime vacation with children in the car, and the question that children raise, Mom, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? and that kind of causes us to become impatient because we know we have a long drive. But what you're saying is what? How to deal with that?
I just traveled to the West Coast and back in a matter of 4 days. And so there were, I traveled by airline, by commercial airline. And so there were delays. I had 3 flights. There were delays on every flight. There were issues of seating and whatnot. And I was fine because I knew that how I was going to experience those experiences were completely up to me. And so I had the awareness to say, and it's not patience like, oh, I'm really ready to blow up at somebody. It was, how do you want to experience your life right now? What is your own potential to be bothered, Jim? Do you need to just chill a little bit? Or do you want to be happy or do you want to be unhappy? Are you leaving this up to the airlines? This is a very important decision. How I want to, my conscious state is really, if it's up to me, then, and I believe that it is, then of course I'm going to choose to be calm and happy and nice.
Well, I want to thank you so much. And we're going to talk more about the art of becoming oneself and about illuminating our own possibilities, the richness that we all have within, when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we have Dr. James P. Brennan, the author of The Art of Becoming Oneself, A Fresh Interpretation of Our Possibilities. And you know, that's such an intriguing title. I didn't quite get the full impact until I started reading the book and recognizing that each of us has a wealth of possibilities if we only recognize them and mine them. We talk about mining for gold, but each of us is gold within ourselves.
And I think it starts with the mind, Eleanor. We have very complex minds, and that's what can jam us up and gets us into many difficulties. But that's also the way that it's full of advantages. And the biggest advantage of all about our mind is that it's transformable. And so the way we use conscious awareness, that really comes down to how we experience our lives. And the quality of our lives is comes back, I guess I'll just reverse that statement and say it comes back to the way we're using our mind. So we should be working on this art form of the use of conscious awareness all the time.
So becoming aware of who we are, our surroundings. Let's talk about one of life's difficult situations, and that is when we are faced with a situation where we feel we want to forgive something, but we're not able to. How is forgiveness part of that, part of richness that we can discover within us? How does it help us to add to that arsenal?
Well, and thank you for that question, because this is something that comes up all the time when we're trying to be ourselves, but we're also trying to be a part of our relationships, a part of our community, and part of everything else that's going on around us in a harmonious way, in an effective way. Forgiveness usually is the antidote to a negative mind state. If we feel... And sometimes we think we are actually more effective in a negative mind state. There's very little evidence to show that that's true. In fact, usually when we are beyond the negative mind state and we look back, we see that we were very ineffective. But we do see that sometimes as giving in when we forgive. But I would also, when I talk to people who feel that way, when I'm talking to myself when I feel that way, I think, Is it anger that's really keeping me safer from some whatever the unfairness was that brought on the negative state? Is it resentment that's actually keeping me safer, or is it wisdom that keeps me safer, that keeps all of us safer? Is it deeper understanding that keeps us safer? And so forgiveness actually allows that to come back again.
You know, as you were talking, I was coming back to somehow or other, brought me back to a time when I was taking care of my dad, God bless his memory, who lived in New York City in Queens. And I took care of him and maintained him in the apartment that I grew up in until he was no longer able to live there. And I had wonderful caretakers. They were from Trinidad. And they had a wonderful way of relating to my dad. So no matter whatever he did was okay. And I remember sitting around the kitchen table with one of my sons who had driven me to New York. And we were playing his favorite casino. And my son was taking a little time. And my father, being who he was, he said, come on, throw out the card. And I'm sitting there. And I said, Dad, you know, we drove 3 hours to be with you. Is that a way to talk to your grandson? He said, all right, throw out the card. So I was able to, there was a part of me that really wanted to be, you know, give him a big hard time. And the other part just wanted to make him aware. And then when he said, throw out the card in his own inimitable way, inwardly I was laughing. He did the best he could, and I was pleased with that. So I had I didn't have any hard feelings. But I was glad that I stood up for myself and
sure.
made him aware.
Sure, and I think that just the laughter reflected the lightness now of the moment because the tension is gone. And when we look back at a situation that we feel we can't forgive, then we carry that tension and negativity from that into every present moment. And the present moments are when we live our lives. We should consider everyone very precious, and we should be synthesizing positive meaning and happiness in every present moment. And so when we look back and cling and clutch to the negative, it's almost as if we can't give up hope for a better past. we must give up hope for a better past. The past is done, so we cannot change it. And so we really should have hope for a beautiful now.
For a beautiful now.
And that's why by letting go, by forgiving, we have actually then disattached from the past. And it allows our heart to lighten up. It allows us to actually align with reality, which is now.
And to be able to look back and say, that was, and how fortunate that we're able to look upon the now and say, thank God, it is now.
My goodness, we can look back and remember suffering.
Yes.
And still have gratitude for the fact that we don't need to continue to suffer from what's over. And we can learn from it. We can take forward that part of our understanding, which is constructive, but we don't have to continue to suffer from it.
No, but to continue to learn so that suffering doesn't continue.
Right.
Well, I think that was very well put. There's so many wonderful things in this book. Let's talk about another chapter, which is on gratitude. Talk about how that adds to our arsenal of well-being.
Sure. Gratitude is a very positive state. And I don't think that when we look around us and we look at the blessings of existence itself, I don't think that that's a small list of things. And I think that it's easy to see the abundance of good things in our lives all the time. And so when we focus on those things, we actually change our mental state to something that's positive, to abundance, which leads more to sharing, and it leads more to just all of the positive states that would qualify a happy life.
Well, sometimes I feel that we live in such a busy world. People are so busy making a living. Husbands are off trying to support their families, and women are sometimes having to both be breadwinners and take care of children. We forget to acknowledge.
Yes.
And to acknowledge a partner and to say, thank you, honey. I'm so glad you're home safe and sound. It doesn't have to be big,
no.
But to be able to express gratitude and appreciation for the fact that, number one, we are living, we got through the day, and that we have one another to support one another.
Yes.
And to make our gratitude known. So often in living our lives day to day, we're so busy trying to exist that we forget to acknowledge one another and to express our gratitude for being there side by side.
Yes, that's a wonderful point. From a relationship counselor, I shouldn't be surprised, but I think our loving relationships really are the peak of the things that make an abundant life beautiful and abundant. And so, when we're not taking a vacation from reality, when we bring our attention back to those things that represent our blessings, and I think one of the other biggest blessings that we could identify is our ability to shape our own perspective. And again, it's the artful use of conscious awareness. If you could imagine a day when everything went as you would wish, then that would be a pretty good day, right? That would be a lot to be. And when you think of when you have the ability to embrace everything that happens and to use it in a good way, which is what we have, and if we maintain enough conscious awareness, that's what we do. And we bring our stillness to everything that's happening. And whether they're negative or positive, there's something there that we can grow from. There's something there we can learn from and advance. And therefore, there's all these resources that for growth. And that's a reason to be thankful.
Now, I'm just wondering, how do we cope in a very... Sometimes we have negative situations,
mm-hmm.
where we're involved. We don't mean to be. It could be a husband and wife. A husband has a very big temper. And all of a sudden, there's an eruption that she didn't counter. She didn't really think about. But there he is going on and on. And there's a part of it that wants to say, will you stop yelling? I didn't have anything to do with that. Where were you getting all that?
Sure.
But there's another way in your book. And from your perspective, you have a whole different way of coping with that turmoil that comes in every relationship. How do you believe a person can really take stock of their own awareness, allow that other person to be, and thrive?
I think we have to take responsibility primarily for what's going on within us. That's always primary. And the other thing that's always primary is the now. What's going on with me in the present moment? And if we continue to take stock of that, I have a meditation bell on my iPhone that goes off every 30 minutes. And it can remind you of whatever you want it to remind you of. But in order to try to condition my awareness, I ask myself the question, what is my potential to be bothered right now when I hear that bell?
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think that being in the state of equanimity will ever be a steady state. It's always reset, reset, reset. And the world moves us around and we it rocks us to and fro. And other people especially will rock us to and fro. But I think that when we become aware that our potential to be bothered is now elevated, the first thing we do primarily is to bring ourselves back to balance. And when we do, this might seem like a self-centered perspective, but it actually allows us, we don't have to put as much work into our own psyche. It allows us to be more open to the other person. So if the other person is angry, then we'll probably be more equipped to say the wisest thing or to refrain from saying an unwise thing and to acknowledge that other person's anger.
We don't have to be drawn into that other person's anger. We can just observe and say, look, he's angry. Hold on to ourselves and say, let me see what I'll do about it when the time is right. I want to thank you, Dr. James P. Brennan, author of The Art of Becoming Oneself, for helping us to understand that the richness in life that we all seek is within us, and accepting and exploring the nature of our being so that we can become our own special selves. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.